Okay, the shiur is in, it's really from Parsha Shemos. The main source is going to be a Ramban, and if we have time, hopefully, Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos. And the shiur is called Faith in God. So there's a really interesting Ramban who explains an interesting Rashi. Okay? And it gives, I think, a new idea of a person's faith in God, different than the classical Ramban way that we conceive of it. Okay, so
are we expected to know what that way is?
I'm going to mention it. Ramban brings it down.
Hey,
hey, Robbie.
Oh.
Okay. So the series of pesukim, it's during the snap when Hashem and Moshe, right? Hashem first encounters Moshe and tries to give him the whole shlichus to go to Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe is resisting, and he puts up a fight, and he puts up a series of questions. Okay, so the question is, we're going to take up, is, so Moshe says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Hinei Anochi Ba El Bnei Yisrael, Vamarti Lehem Elokei Avoseichem Shalchani Aleichem, I'm going to come to Bnei Yisrael and tell them that the God of their father sent me to them. Vamarli Mashmo Ma'omar Aleichem, and I'm going to say to them, what is his, what's his name? Right? So what should I tell them when they say, what's his name? Vayomer Elokim Moshe. So God said back to Moshe, Ekia Asher Ekia. Vayomer, Kosum Rav Neizrael, Ekia Shalchani Aleichem. Okay? So Moshe says, they're going to ask you what your name is. What should I say to them? So God says, Ekia Asher Ekia. And then cryptically says, and say to them again, Ekia sent me to them. Okay? So the problem here is, let's see the Ramban. So I'm going to just, we really want to do just the long, it's a long Ramban. I'll just do the beginning just so you see the problems. The problems around the Mor Nevuchim discusses almost the exact same problems, which are almost obvious in a sense, if you think about it. But the Ramban spells it out, the Ramban spells it out. And then I'm going to skip to the part where he talks about Rashi's, the way Rashi has, and he explains Rashi. Okay, whether Rashi would agree that's how you explain it. Separate point. I'm concerned about how Ramban learns Rashi. That's the main point of this year. Okay. So Ramban starts off, and it's Parag Gimel Pasuk Gimel. It says Amrli Mashmo. A pasuk is that Omer Lecha Parsheni. So this pasuk says basically you got to explain me. Okay, it makes no sense. Ki lo yitakin shemar Moshe of Amrli Mashmo lios lahem os sheminu bo. It can't be that Moshe is going to ask Hashem for his name to tell Bnei Yisrael, and that's going to be some sort of sign that Moshe knows God's name. Because asking his name and telling it to them, it's not a sign for somebody who didn't believe it to begin with. Why? If Klais already knew that name, Ekia Sherekia, let's say they knew it in advance. Okay. Gamoshe Kahem Yadeoso. So Moshe also knows it. What's so special? They all know it. He knows it too. He was there. So in time for 20 years or so. So why shouldn't he know it too? What's so special? Maybe he's making the whole thing up. Okay. If it's a secret password and everybody knows the password, so Moshe knows it too. So it doesn't prove anything. Vine diaso ki diaso vine osu mofis klau. Right? He knows it just like them. Vim lo shamubo. And if he's the only one who knew it and they never heard of it. Okay. Maharaya shamina bidvar klau. What's the proof? You know, you come and tell people, here's the secret password.
Why are those the only two options? Why can't you say that a select few knew it?
There is a Ramban brings down that possibility, actually. That
as
it was a
Masorah. As a public
thing. As a Masorah from Yaakov to Yosef. Yosef. The problem really is, though, this is the Medrash Hasid.
It's hard because
Yaakov to Yosef. Yosef to Levi.
It's like saying with the Pukot Dekadati sort of thing.
Yeah. That he explains, takes it up also.
But
he takes
this
up. I'm not going to, you know.
This
is the problem. You have to give an answer. But there's a longer bond.
I'm not recognizing the problem because I don't think it's limited to those possibilities.
Well, the problem is the Medrash is that Yaakov tells it to Yosef, Yosef tells it to Levi, Levi to Kehos, Kehos to Amram.
And why does it stop there?
Right, Amram tells it to Aaron. You gotta realize Moshe's in the law. It's not like he's some random person. He's the son of the Levi, the Gadol Ador. Amram is the Gadol Ador. And he's the one who would have the secret name, if anything.
And if it's a Masorah, it should have been spread out.
Right. So Ramban explains, according to that, you have to say Moshe ran away before Amram could tell him or something. It's difficult, okay? But again, that's that's, you know, a whole world of Midrashim. I'm not, this is not world of Medrash. We're trying, this is philosophy, okay? It's philosophy tonight, okay? Okay, good. So those are the basic question. You have to explain it, okay? And Ramban and Ibn Ezra have one type of approach. Ramban doesn't like Ibn Ezra, but they're both dealing with Midos. There's basically three types of approaches. Ramban and Ibn Ezra, I think, are one, even though they're arguing, in terms of the style of their approach. Then there's the Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Yitzchak, the Amora, I believe, and Tirgum. They learn it's like it's a proof for, God was, Moshe's asking for proof for necessary existence. Mashmo means the idea of God. How do I prove it to them? No, you know, so he taught them the idea of Ekya Sher Ekya, according to Rambam. It's like, that exists, that which exists. Existence qualifies the essence. So it's, existence is not a property, it's the essence itself is existence, necessary existence, something along those lines. Rambam came first. Okay.
One second.
Aristotle.
Is the problem how Moshe is going to introduce God to the people?
What's the question?
Yeah.
What is Moshe asking for?
Exactly.
That's so one string. Okay, Ramban Ibn Ezra, I'm skipping entirely, okay? One string is the very philosophical approach in terms of the Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon, the philosophers, you know, is that Moshe is asking, how do you prove to me God exists? And he's teaching them Ekya Sher Ekya, some logical, philosophical argument about God.
How do you read the pasuk to mean that?
Yeah, so that's, you look at the Morne Vochem, okay?
I got a problem with that too, because the pasuk says Vayitzak El Hashem Vatal Shavosam. So who are they calling out to?
Right, exactly.
If they didn't believe in God.
Right, very good. That's good. That's an excellent argument. We'll come back to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. But nevertheless, okay, that's,
people cry out to gods they have no proof for.
Not usually.
Also, maybe some of them cried out, some of them didn't.
They usually ask for help from something they think they have no idea is going
to
help.
Excellent.
Them.
We're going to really come back to that point, Robbie. Very good. Okay, good. Okay, but again, that's not the. And Rabbi Yitzchak says it's, I will be in the future like I was in the past, like I am in the present, that God is outside of time, right? That's not physically, he's outside of time. Okay, fine. So another group the Ramban gets at the end. But it's the Rashi's approach that I want to take up. That's the most interesting to me this week, okay? Okay. So he says like this. We'll just do it with the Ramban quotes Rashi. It's a big Ramban. So it's Vatomer lehem Anochi Hashem Lekecha Elokei Avoseichem Shalchani Aleichem. Oso Shah. So this is the Chazal. Nizbar Moshe al Iskav. Shesyari im Yishalu lo Mashmo Ma Omar Aleichem. Oso Shah. Hayimavakish Moshe shiyodiyu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Agadol. V'ze inyan hashela. V'nei anehu halokim ekya asher ekya. So God answered him ekya asher ekya. This is where I guess we'll pick up. This is the Rashi. Okay. Eye imachem betzara zu ve'eye imachem betzara sacheros. Okay, that's the Rashi. Is I will be with them in this tzara, and I will be with them in the future sufferings, the future tzaros. So Eya means not I am, I exist, like the Rambam learns or whatever. But it means Eya, I will be with them. I will be with them in this tzara, like I'll be with them in future tzaras.
Rambam learns that it's I am, like a Christian version?
Not like a Christian, like a Rambam version. Amr lefanav, Ribono shalolam, daya letzar b'shaita. So God, Moshe said to them, it's enough, the tzara in its own time. Don't talk about future tzaros. It's enough, the tzara that they're in now. Amr le yefer marta, good, kosum av ne Yisrael. Vigomer. Lashon Rashi Medivrei Rabbeinu. Okay? So that what he says to them is Moshe's Mevakesh to know the let's say Shem HaGadol. I'm not sure if that part flows. And then he says that God's answer is Ekya Asher Ekya. That it will be with them in this sorrow like I'll be with them in future sorrows.
Well, why the world would he say that?
Why would God say it to them?
It's sorrows. Why?
Okay, fine, good.
What?
Now the Ramban explains.
Isn't that why he appeared in the thorn bush?
In the thorn bush, yes. Imo Nochi Betzara. Exactly. That's how Rashi learns. The Rashi's consistent.
I just look like this.
Strange.
Psychologically, like, why? If I'm an Eved, why would I want to hear that?
Not only
no,
that.
No. Because Klaisel is suffering, and God is saying, I'm going to be with you in this sorrow.
And the future ones?
And future ones also. And
but
Moshe says,
I don't want to hear that.
Why are you mentioning future sorrows? And God says, good point. Excellent point. Okay, fine. Leave it out. Just say yeah. Don't say Asher yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just say one. That's why when God repeats it, he only says one.
What's that happening?
I don't know. Okay. Notice this. This is the fascinating Rambam. The kavana lehem bazeh. So Rambam explains this. What are the Chazal trying to get to? Ki Moshe amar lefanav yisbarach. V'amar li mashmo. Shiagid lehem Hashem. So what is Moshe saying? Mashmo. What is his request? What is they're going to ask me what your name is. What his name is. Shiagid lehem Hashem. Sheyore hora shalem al hametzias v'al hashkacha. That they want that Moshe should tell them that Hashem should tell them, okay, a demonstration, instruct them with a real demonstration argument, a perfect one, a shalem, a complete, strong, solid argument, demonstration, al hametzias, on God's existence, val hashgacha, on God's providence. Okay, so they're asking for a real harash lema. Show us, how do you, that God exists, and that is his mashgiach. Okay, solid argument. Similar to the Rambam would begin, okay?
This is
the Ramban explaining Chazal, Rashi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to Moshe, Lama Zeh Yishal Lishmi? Why are you asking for my name? Okay, what do you need this for? Ein Lehem Tzarech L'Raya Cheres. You don't need any proofs. You don't need any of these proofs. What are you doing? Asking for proofs. God exists. There's Hashgacha in the world. You don't need proofs. Ki eye mahem b'chol tzorosam. I will be with them in all their sufferings. Yikru'uni v'anim. They'll call to me and I'll answer them. V'hi ha'raya gadola sh'yesh l'kim b'Yisrael. K'rovim eleinu b'chol k'reini lov. And that is the ultimate proof that there is God in Klal Yisrael. That he's close to them, to us. Whenever we call out to him. V'yesh l'kim shoftim baritz. And his hashkacha relates to this world. Okay, and this is, Ramban says, a beautiful explanation. Very nice perish for this Agada that Rashi quotes. Okay, so it's a very interesting dialogue. Is Moshe saying they're going to want a philosophical argument here? Harash Lema on Mitzia and God's existence and his Ashkacha. And God saying, Lama Zeh Tishal Ashmi, what kind of question? Don't ask that question. Okay, you don't need those types of rayas. Right? You don't need that raya. What more do you need than I be with them in their tzaros?
Is he saying this to the Ashkacha part or to the first part as well?
Both. That's the Raya, Yishal Kim Bisrael, and God's Ashofin and Aretz. Is Ekya Asher Ekya?
The experiential.
Right, exactly.
The Raya.
Is it interesting?
Yeah.
Like, no, isn't like that Gemara like.
Amazing Chazal. But yeah.
The three things that Moshe said, and that because they didn't perceive it, they didn't try to prove it. They just, whether they perceived, since they didn't perceive, they no longer said it. Nora Gibor.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Kadla Gibor by Nora?
Yeah.
Was it do with anything?
No, yeah. Since they didn't perceive it.
Right.
They no longer said it.
In Tfilo.
Yeah.
What does that do with anything?
Because it is nothing to do with proof.
Oh, it doesn't seem. Okay, it's a little different. I hear what you're associating now. Here. Okay, so what's the Chazal? Okay, so just basic Shana Chazal, I ask the questions, okay? Basic Shana Chazal is that it's asking for a philosophical, Moshe is saying they're going to want a philosophical demonstration, a real proof, a logical argument to demonstrate clearly and completely that God exists and then he's Mashkiach, he relates to man. And God is saying, you don't need that for. The best raya, the best proof you have is, like Robbie said, the experiential. You call out to God and he answers your tefillos. What better evidence? What better evidence? Why are you running to philosophy and logic when you have the experience of first God day. Being close to you? First hand experience. You call out and God's there. Right?
Like
that's like the whole Christian thing. Like the reason why they believe in Jesus and all that stuff is because they pray.
What Christianity you got going on tonight?
Well, yeah. There's
all over the place.
Really?
It's like Christian
so he's basically, the Chazal is basically asking or understanding that that basically that Moshe should just pray for something to happen in front of the Klal Yisrael and that's going to happen? Is that what he's saying?
Well, they call out and God answer them. Because if you look, the whole nevuah of the Snet, in truth, is preceded by right before the whole nevuah of the Snet. The nevuah says Paragimel, it's Paragimel. So it says Vayhi Bayamin right before Paragimel, Paragimel's Pazachav Gimel. Vayiba Yama Rab Mahim, while Moshe was in Midian, right? Vayamas Mechmatrayim, Vayancha B'nei Som in Avoda, Vayizaku, Vatal Shavasim Elakim in Avoda, Vayishma Elakim as Nakasom, Vayiskar Elakim as Priso. Sovereign says, Lekim as Yaakov, Vayar Elakim as Meishel, Vayid Elakim. So, I mean, they were Mispalo.
Doesn't say that.
What?
It says Vayizaku.
Zaku is a type of tefillah.
It's Vayizaku El Hashem, though. Just, and the translation there is, and they cried out.
Oh, the Rav, they like animals.
They were in pain.
It doesn't say Vatal Shavas Melakim.
That's Hashem heard it.
Okay, Ramban learns his tefillah. Ramban learns his tefillah. Not the Rav. The Rav might not learn that one.
I asked the question, and I didn't see it in the pasuk the way I asked.
Okay, good.
The Rav has the whole thing where it was a different type of, it wasn't formulated in words. Mm-hmm.
Can you give a case of how that works?
When Bond learns, it's tefillah, though.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you give a case of how that would work? Is that
okay, I mean, this proof, yeah. This argument. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what
should
think.
Have happened? Like, what should, is it? What is he saying?
Or coincidence.
What is he saying that should happen?
What do you mean? We get thrown
out. It's good stuff. Come on now, be nice. That's nice. No, here's a question. Two questions. Okay? Two questions. The first is what kind of answers to them? They've basically, is this the first time they were mispalel after, you know, they were in Egypt for 210 years? The Shibud in Mitzrayim was at least 130, I think, right? If you do the calculations when Levi died, something like that. And I imagine they davened beforehand and God didn't come to save them. And even if Moshe comes and says, they say, okay, who sent you? He says, well, God, you know, God sent me. Well, who's this God? Prove it to us. He's like, look, whenever you daven, he comes. He'd be like, you know, where has he been for 130 years? Mm-hmm. What kind of argument is this to them?
There's no reason for them to continue davening.
Well, what kind of answer is he? Well, what is he trying? They're saying, give us a proof that God exists, and then he's a mashkiach. He relates to man. And he says, look, whenever you call out, he's right there. And they're going to say,
really?
What?
Say, really?
Well, like, where? What are you talking about? It's not exactly, they've been through this, do you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're talking to them after an Eretz Yisrael, right? Right?
You're not talking to them.
No, what kind of argument is that? But a logical proof, that would work. Right? That's Moshe's idea. It's sensible.
Why would
you like that?
Why would that work?
It's your kind of thing.
Why would that work opposed to a miracle?
No, it makes sense.
It's not saying an ace.
Fine.
They're supposed to answer the tefillah being there and saving them?
Yeah,
just say a proof. Who cares about logic right now? Just say, it's really, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is just, I don't know.
Do a miracle like he did, turn water into blood, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
He did that.
Fine, but why? So he didn't need the logic before, though. Why would he need the logic before? Why would he need two things?
Oh, why not?
I only need one. Why not have one?
I mean, why not just have water turn to blood?
Yeah, why not just have the Ten Commandments?
I guess water turning to blood, you could say, is an
answer.
I think water turning to blood is like a sign, but like if a person hasn't in his head doesn't have the concept that God exists and he relates to man firmly fixed in his mind, so then
it could work. As a
but it could, you could have the Tamakos getting out of Egypt, and couldn't that couldn't you have the ideas for God also, or no?
You mean both? You're asking why not have both? What are you asking?
No, why not just have the 10 Makos? We left Egypt. Could that be enough?
That's what it's saying.
Enough for what?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Are we saying that there was a logical proof?
No, Moshe wanted that.
Moshe wanted that.
Moshe says to God, give me a logical proof. That's what they're going to ask me for.
I wasn't aware of this before.
Well,
the proof.
Oh, he's saying to God, what's the way to prove it? How should I prove it? Why don't you just give him his proof?
Right,
there's
a proof.
Wait,
that's a good thing to ask. By the way, God, what do you think is the best proof out there?
Yeah.
Why not?
Ask for the best proof. This is like an opportunity for them. For them.
Yeah.
Give me the best proof for them.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought Moshe Rabbeinu did give him the proof, though.
No, God says, what do you need a proof for? You don't need proofs. You don't need a proof. Call out in tefillah, I'll be there. What better proof do you need than that? You don't need logical, philosophical proofs. That's what God says to me. He doesn't give it to him. Right?
So what's this Akia thing?
Right. That
was it.
No, that's the way the Ramban learned. The Ramban learns. The way he learns is that Ekia Sher Ekia, like Rashi, he's explaining Rashi here. The way he's explaining Rashi is that Ekia Sher Ekia means that the argument is not a philosophical proof, but the experiential idea that you call it in tefillah and God is there and protects you, saves you from your suffering.
Fine, so that's what I'm talking about. So Ekia, according to Rashi, the Ramban explaining Rashi, is the whole process of leaving Egypt?
Yeah, basically. Okay, first let me ask my question. That's okay, what I'm going to say. Basically. Okay. Okay. So, that's the first question. The second question is what kind of, let's say when you have a time, the first question was, how is this going to go? Are you going to go to them? They're going to say, where has God been until now, right? My second thing is how does this argument of, well, you don't need any rayas, call it in tefillah. I mean, there are times where it doesn't work. It's a variation of the first pshat. Like, let's say in the Holocaust, you're going to go to a Jew and tell him, you call out to God in tefillah, and he comes and saves you. What do you need proof that God exists? You're questioning, does God exist? Where is God? Where is his hashgacha? You don't need logical proofs. Call out in God, he'll save you. And just, people prayed during the Holocaust, and there was no hashgacha there saving them. Right, so what kind of argument is this? It doesn't seem to hold up throughout. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu's initial request seems to be a better request. Right?
Especially given the circumstances.
Why would it be better replaced?
Especially where they were in Egypt. Yeah. And I'm just saying in general, throughout the year, when you have a gullus, like terrible tragedies where there seems to be tefillah and you daven and God's not there. Right?
Yeah, and that's why God's mentioning that he's always with them.
Always, but I mean,
No, I mean, it seems less crazy for him to be mentioning that in this context.
I think he's always with them in their suffering.
Because he's about to be.
I think at this point, a guy who's already been suffering for 210 years, or a generation for some 210 years, doesn't really care about proofs. He cares about action.
Okay, man, that's what God's telling him. Right. Okay, so I just think simple. See, so how do you have to answer? What exactly is this Chazal trying to tell you? Okay, so I don't think it's telling you don't need logical proofs, because I don't think it makes sense. Because what were they for those two questions? The reason those two questions, it doesn't mean you throw out the Rambam entirely. Okay, and the role of philosophical proofs has no role in Torah. I don't think that's what this Chazal is saying. But I think it's saying is that there's different periods of time. There's periods of time of Hester Panim, where of Gullus, like Yetzias Mitzrayim was until this point, where Moshe gets sent down to Bnei Israel, like the Holocaust, like other times in Jewish history, where basically it seems like God has abandoned us. It seems like that. Yudavin and, right, Sasim Tfilasi, and these Sakosibanon Meavor Tfilasi, that God seems to hide himself away from our Tfilas being answered. And then there's other times where God's close to us, Purim, Chanukah, you cry out and he saves us, Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? They daven and God comes, sends Moshe and does the miracles, takes him out, gives him the Torah, right, the man, right? So you have different periods of time where there's a different relationship between God and Klal Yisrael. Okay, so in the times of Galus, so you need the philosophical proofs. How are you going to maintain your knowledge that God exists and that there's Hashgacha in Mitzrayim if you don't have the philosophical argument that God exists and you don't have the philosophical argument for Hashgacha, right? How are you going to be able to maintain that knowledge in the Holocaust? A Jew's supposed to really, he's going to rely not on, you can't tell the Jew in the Holocaust to rely on the fact that God answers your tefillos every moment you call out, he's there. It's not going to work for him. He's going to lose his faith. So in order to maintain his faith in God, he's going to have a logical, abstract, philosophical proofs. Okay, but God is saying to Moshe that that's what you use in the Gullus. Okay, but when you have they ask you a question, give us a logical proof for God's existence as Hashgacha. What you tell them is that's you're asking a question from the Gullus. Times are changing. You're not going to be relying on those types of proofs. Things are changing. Ekya Asher Ekya. There's going to be a different type of knowledge of God that you're going to receive. That I'm going to be with you. You're going to daven, and I'm going to be there for you. Every time you make a request, I'm going to provide your needs. They need water, he gives them water. They need food, they give them water.
Cloud is going to roll along with you.
Yeah, right. The Anani HaKavod are going to be there constantly. It's a completely, a new era is being ushered in which your experience of God's providence and his existence is going to be manifested in your daily lives. And you're not gonna need abstract philosophical proofs to know that God exists, because you're gonna see it all around you and you're gonna know he exists and you know his hashgachas without having to make recourse to an abstract intellectual ideas. It's gonna be present on your mind from your daily experiences. So his answer to them was that's the, if they ask you that question, it means they don't realize what your mission is, Moshe. If they're, you're not a navi to them in the galus. You're a navi to them because there's geula. A geula is coming, and in the geula, this is the better way. This is the better way to know God exists. Okay. Now, why is it better? What is better about ekyesh or ekya as opposed to philosophical rayos? Why is that? Why is it better, the experiential?
One realizes it. He internalizes it.
I think so. Yeah, I think there's a couple. One
also
is
so the nature of the relationship is not just abstract. It's
right.
Both.
Yeah.
It's abstract and
I think it's
a back and forth. You know, a relationship.
Yeah, it makes it concrete.
It's both,
it
right.
makes
it's
it a real
abstract and concrete.
Correct. Correct. It makes it. It makes it. I think it hits a person's emotions. It hits a person's reality principle in a stronger way. I think also it's more easily accessible to all people, as opposed to philosophical proofs, which are, I think, more limited. Not everybody is able to be moved by philosophical proofs. It seems to me that it's not, you know, as widespread. But the ekyesh or ekya, everybody sees that, everybody feels that. I think it impacts a person's sense of reality. It's hard to take an abstract philosophical proof and make it real to a person. That it's, even if your mind is convinced, it has an, you still have to make the move from that which your mind knows to be true to that which your reality, your sense of reality, conviction that it's real, is true. It's contingent on a lot of emotional factors, bringing it from intellectual truth to your reality principle. So, but I think ekya sidesteps all those things. It's a much better way for a person to arrive at the conviction of God's existence. His faith in God is stronger when you have that. It's just totally on the circumstances. It's good if you're about to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wonderful. That's a wonderful way to know God. It's not so good if you're about in the middle of Geulas Mitzrayim or the Geula that we're in now. You know, maybe things are a little different. We have really modern day, but certainly there are periods of Jewish history where Ekyesh or Ekya is not going to have the same impact on a person. Okay, so I think what the message is that there are multiple ways. There are multiple ways for a person to be convinced and have faith in God. Okay, this is two ways. There's other ways, you know. I was going to bring in Aaron Lichtenstein as an interesting part of an essay where he talks about it. But there are different facets, or different ways that a person can be convinced how God exists. You know, he talks about there the subjective way, which I don't understand. Rav was big on the subjective way.
The what way?
That's subjective.
That's
what does that even mean?
Yeah.
You just have a sense that God exists?
Yeah, that's existential.
Jesus spoke to me?
Yeah, it's a Kierkegaard, exactly. That same thing. Something like that.
I feel it. I sense it.
You have some sense that God exists, right?
I really need it, so I'm going to make.
Okay, well, you know, the some people that speaks to, some people it doesn't.
It's real for me.
What?
I don't think it's so crazy.
Ron speaks to Rafi here. It's okay. No, but my point is, some people want the philosophical, logical, right. The abstract thing. Some people want to see it in their lives. Some people have a See, this is not a subjective thing. There's an objective reality. It's empirical evidence. You call out to God and he answers your tefillos. That's not a subjective sense. That's empirical observations. That's not, you're right, there's objective truth to that. It's just different than an abstract philosophical argument. Ekyesh or ekya.
But how would that be proof that God listens to your prayers if just like ratio, like just proportionate, the amount that you prayed, he didn't listen? Meaning, so only because right now he listens, or the next 3,000 times he listened. If he didn't listen the past 100,000 times, then who cares?
I mean, maybe it's just luck or something like that?
No, I mean, not even saying it's luck, but the fact that God doesn't, if your proof is based on the fact that God always listens, if he doesn't listen once, then there goes the entire proof. And the fact that all these people prayed once at least before this happened.
Right. I mean, I hear.
How do you explain that?
I mean, it depends what the proof is. If it's like, if you're looking at the proof as like an experiment, like I'm doing something once and then it happens, and do it again and it happens.
Yeah,
then if you do it, it doesn't. Yeah, I don't think that's the idea of Ekyesh or Ekya.
What's the probability?
No, I don't think it's that. I think you're intellectualizing it a little too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
I don't know how you could do that.
You're intellectual.
You gotta feel something.
Yeah. That's good. Rafi's got it. I don't think it's. I think it's that, you know. It's think about. I mean, in the midbar where they're calling out to God and he answers with tefillah, he takes care of their needs.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's
I think you said it before that it's God's changing the rules of the game. That before it was
a Golos mentality.
Right.
And now it's going to be a Geula. It's a
correct. But they didn't just live in this time. They didn't only pray in this time. They prayed before and it didn't work. Thus showing that prayer doesn't work. Thus showing that God doesn't.
Okay, now it's true. Not every time. Now you know during the Golos it doesn't. And the reason we know is because of Shema Yegra Machet. There is an idea of Chet and there's no guarantee that every tefillah is going to be answered. So now it's true. You can chalk it up to, you can explain why God doesn't answer.
So God never answers your prayers. So you're saying it's not a disproof.
Right. It's not a disproof. But on the other hand, you're not going to have that experience of God is close to you and he's taking care of you and his providence is there if he's not answering it because you have a chet. It's not a disproof, but still not going to, you're still going to need some sort of other source.
No, but the Jews would say, what are you talking about? We're all sinners now, and he saved us. So clearly, being a sinner has nothing to do with it.
Oh, I mean, why is he doing it now? So it's a combination of, right, of the Kates, the end of the Kates they promised to Avraham, and Midas HaRachamim. And, you know, there's three factors that go into it. That's what I'm saying. It's not that proof. It's not, you're intellectualizing it too much. It's the experience of the life, the daily life, where God is taking care of all your needs and protecting you and redeeming you, taking you out of Mitzrayim. That's the sense. When that's going on daily, you don't start asking, well, how do I know God exists? Do you know? You know that Rashi by right before Amalek comes, right? Where they say Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu imayin by Mara. Rashi says to compare it to like a father who has his kid on his shoulders.
With the wolves and the robbers.
And the father, the kid's hungry, so he picks up some food. He's thirsty, he gives him something to drink. Right, and then there's like, all right, there's animals or something, or whatever it is, or robbers, and he fights them off. And the kid meets somebody, he says, have you seen my father? Have you seen my father? The father throws in the ground, the dog gets him, right?
Yeah.
So it's just the, have you seen, you know, he's there, everything's being taken care of. You don't get, in that situation, you don't start reflecting upon how do I know God exists? You don't need it. It's, you know, to take the Rav's, the Kierkegaard analogy, but in a different sense than Rav and Kierkegaard use it, the baby, you know. They always say that, you know, the baby knows the mother exists. The baby doesn't ask, how do I know the mother exists? The baby knows the mother exists, right? So they use it for the subjective argument, right? But I would say the baby knows the mother exists, not because subjectively, the baby has a sense, the baby cries, the mother takes care of it, the baby cries, and the mother takes care of it. So every time the baby cries, the mother takes care of it, the baby knows the mother exists. It doesn't need to have a philosophical argument the mother exists, it's just that's its reality. Okay? It's a different, you don't get to that stage of I need an abstract proof. This is your world, this is your reality. It runs deeper. Your whole reality is that God exists and and you have a relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? You never get to doubting. There's no doubt. It never enters your mind. Your whole world is a relationship between you and God and him taking care of your needs. You know what I'm saying? You don't start saying, well, right, experimentally, this time...
I would get that if you started from babies, but you're not. You're starting from people who are in concentration camps.
I mean, a traumatized baby whose mother never came.
Yeah. And them.
Still.
No, it...
that's my point. It's not the same... in terms of the intellectual question you're asking, you don't disprove it because of Shema Yegra Machet. Okay, I'll take the Ben Yonah brings up Shema Yegra Machet, okay?
Which makes it not really a proof.
It doesn't say it's not a proof in that sense. It's not a proof in the logical, philosophical proof.
The way you feel like God exists.
But it's not subjective. It's your world. It's a reality. It's an objective reality that God's there.
Practically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Practically.
The
right. Right, but it's not a subjective sense. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying subjective.
Exists enough.
No, but I'm saying there's a difference. I'm saying it is an objective proof that God exists, an objective raya. But it's an objective based upon your experiences and your observations and your empirical reality.
Yeah, true enough.
Right, and that's just what the world is. I'm not saying it's your subjective sense that God exists. You have some ESP, okay. But it's different than a Rambam's type of 26 propositions that he has from Aristotle and the nature of inertia and four types of change. And right, it's not that kind of a proof, a different type of proof. Okay? It's a different type of proof.
One is.
Okay, but there's multiple. There are different types of... These are, you know, three ones I mentioned. There's the four, the historical proof from Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of different arguments. There's the proof of Torah Mi-Sinai. There's a lot of, and from the then learning the Torah itself. There's many different avenues and different ways, qualitatively different channels that you could base your faith in God on. And I think different ones are more apropos in different situations. For the individual, for the tzibor, historically in different times. And I think it makes sense for a person to pursue the different individual paths in order to develop a conviction, a faith that God exists. And they're different ways, and they complement each other. They don't take away from each other. And, you know, you should develop them all, because together they're stronger, and in different situations, one's better than another. Okay, so that's, I think, the point of the Chazal. That they're focusing on two, between Galus and Geula, but I think the point runs deeper in terms of the various ways a person can go about seeking to prove God. You could have a scientific, right, a cosmological, you get into design, those types of proofs. Those are more abstract in a certain sense. Right, prophecy. There's a lot of different types of arguments a person has, right? The Chachmas HaTorah, I think we mentioned. Okay. So now, I'd like to take this and make it a little bit more practical for us. Okay? Maybe this will help you answer your question a little. Probably not, though. Okay. So, it's a Gemara in Brachos. So, I'm Nadapi Arif. It's Bezim and Bez. Okay? And they're Bein Yonah. So, the Gemara says, Ezu Ben Olam Haba. So, who is a person who, right, that deserves to go to Ben Olam Haba? Zeh Somech Gula Shel Arvis L'Tefila Shel Arvis. There's a person who puts the Geula, the last Brach of Kriyashma of Ma'ariv, to the Tefila of Ma'ariv. He puts those two together. Okay, Yisomich them. That's your ticket. So Rabbeinu Yonah asks, Yesh Lomar, V'chim Ibnei Shesomich Gula Tefila Yesh Loschar Kol Kach Sheben Olam Haba? That's his question.
What?
Because you daven Kriyashma with its brachos, and then you daven Ma'ariv right afterwards, where you don't do them separately. You make sure you daven right after you finish Birchos Kriyashma. Because of that, you're Ben Olam Haba. It seems like it's a lot for very little. What's so great? What's so great about Smichas Gula Tefila that you give a free ticket to Olam Haba just for doing that? It seems like, you know, you should have to work a little harder. It's a little. Yeah.
Maybe because it shows that you really recognize the Ashgacha exists. Because you say Shema and you recognize the Ashgacha, and if you really internalize it, then the natural thing to do immediately is to pray to God.
Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Oh. Okay. We actually did this once in different contexts. Maybe you remember.
I don't know.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So I'm going to skip his first answer. Okay, we'll go to the second answer. Okay. Ve'od Omar Mor Neru Tamacher. So the second answer. The Rabbeinu second answer. Okay. So like this. Mibnei Kishe Mazkir Geulas Mitzrayim Espal Miyad. So when a person mentions the Geulas Mitzrayim, the last bracha Kriyashma is the Geula Mitzrayim, right, in both the morning and at night, Emes v'mun, Emes v'yatsev, right, you know, God split the sea and killed the Bechorim, and right, then took the Yam, and they said Shira. So you mentioned the whole events of Yetzias Mitzrayim up through the Kriyas Yamsev. And then you immediately daven right after that. Humare shebotech b'Hashem b'tfilaso. So he's showing that he trusts, he has confidence in Hashem with his tefillah. Kivin shemevakish menitzrachov, because he's going up immediately right after that, and he's making requests for God to take care of his needs. Shemish ein botech bo lo yivakesh min klum. Person who doesn't really believe in God, doesn't trust in God, doesn't believe God can help him with his tefillos, he's not going to ask for anything. The fact that he makes a request demonstrates that he really believes that God is capable of taking care of his needs. V'chein nira be'elish mos rabba, parshas bo el paro. So he's going to quote a medrash in parshas bo. Okay, this week's parsha, but I feel like it's got to be Parshas B'Shalach, but I don't know. It's quoting a pasuk from B'Shalach. She'omer, Sham, K'sheroi Yisrael anisne v'niflos, she'hai osi mama bore, she'lo ketiva sh'olam. When B'nai Yisrael saw the miracles and the wonders that God was doing, the creator of the world was doing with them, not like the natural order of the world. But chubo, they had confidence and trust in him. V'alzenem arvaya Yisrael siyadag dole asher asa Hashem Mitzrayim. And Klai Yisrael saw the great hand that God did, the great deeds that God did in Mitzrayim. Vayiru Amas Hashem, and they feared Hashem, the people feared Hashem. Vayaminu B'Hashem, and they trusted, and they had faith in Hashem. Okay? Right, so that's okay. The kivan shemazker achshav osagula shebatcha v'seinu b'Hashem v'hitzilam. So now the person, when he's saying Kriya Shema, he's going to mention that geula, that and his our forefathers trusted in God and that geula, and he saved them umispal miyad, and then he immediately davens nimta shigam hubotech bo shiyana oso k'mosh anali Yisrael b'avor shebatcha bo. So it shows that he too, he trusts in God, that he's going to answer his tefillos. Just like he answered their tefillos in the Mitzrayim and on the Yam, because they trusted in God, because they turned to God, that's why he answered them.
Because they trusted in him?
Because, that's like a Swiss, right? Because
that's like circular, no?
No.
He, why is it circular?
I hear where you're going, but it's not. They had trust and confidence that God is a person.
Based on what?
Not a person. But.
Based on what, though? Feeling.
Oh, where did they get it from to begin
yeah.
with?
Yeah. It was because it's based on their trust, meaning that's the reason why I worked before.
Oh, where did they get the initial thing from the first time?
Yeah.
Logical proofs.
Sure.
That's what they had with them in the Gullus. It's a good raya. I like it. It's a very nice raya. Okay, I mean, because otherwise it's circular.
Yeah.
So you have to say they had the riots during the Gullus.
That's not what I meant. But
it's okay, nice, yeah. Very nice, right? I like it. Okay. So because of this chus of the bitachon that they had in God, he answered that tefillos. And when you're doing that too, you're showing, when you're davening, right after you mention the Gullus Mitzrayim, you're showing the same thing, that you have bitachon in God, just like your forefathers davened to God and he answered them, so too that he's going to answer you, or at least capable of answering you. And in schus of that, and that's why you're mentioning the geula. When you mention the geula in the last bracha Kriya Shema, you're making reference to this whole idea that God saved Bnei, saved their forefathers, and he answers their tefillah. They called out to him, and he answered their tefillahs. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's making reference to that idea, and then he's immediately davening. V'abitachon hu ikar hayira v'hamuna. And bitachon is the essence, is the ikar, the foundation, the essence of yira and emuna, of fear and faith in God. Lefikach, good question. Lefikach zocha b'sibasa chayom haba. And therefore, you zocha because of it to olam haba. Okay, you're right. It's a very cryptic phrase. Bitachon is the ikar of yira and emuna, right? Bitachon, right, which is the same thing as emuna, is... What's the difference? Very hard to always defend the difference. What's the difference between the two? But Bitachon is the ikar of Yira and Emunah. And he's getting that from the phrase. He's being Dorish, I think. Is Vayar Yisrael es Hayarik Dola She'asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. Right? And that's the Bitachon. They saw that and they had Bitachon. Right? They davened to him that he would answer them. Vayira Amas Hashem Vayaminu B'Hashem. And then that brought about Yira and Emunah. On the Yamsuf is when the Red and they really have Emunah and Yira. Right, that's the full realization of it. So he's saying the bitachon brought them to that level on the Yamsuf of Yiras Hashem and Emunah Bashem. Okay, the question: What is the difference between bitachon and Emunah and Yira?
No, Yira, I get what's different.
Good. What's the difference between bitachon and Emunah?
Yeah, you translated both as faith.
Faith, confidence, trust. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
and also, why is trust a virtue that to be rewarded? Like, well, why is that deserving?
What's this chus?
Yeah, unless you're saying it's based on an actual logical recognition.
Okay. I'm not saying anything other. Yeah.
I don't exactly know how to define it, but I heard from Rav. I think it was Rav Chaim Lozer. I don't remember who.
Okay.
So I don't. But I think he gave an example. Like Emunah is, I think, like believing that someone can go on a unicycle with someone on his shoulders and cross like a bridge with just a rope. But bitachon is where you're willing to be on a tricycle with them and going with them.
Right. So there's that's a definition.
Like that's like,
oh, so it's like internalization, sort of, what you're saying before.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. He's saying emunah is the principles, the philosophical knowledge that it's possible.
Right.
You believe it, and then bitachon is like you actually are willing to commit your reality to it and go along with it. And right. That's basically, I think, the Ramban. I don't think they say it's not really the Ramban, but one of the kids of Ramban is Emunah v'bitachon. So he tries to make that distinction in the beginning, but I don't think it's actually the Ramban. Whoever wrote it.
I don't know who.
Right.
I heard.
Okay, so I mean, It's definitely possible.
No, so then according to that definition, it doesn't work because it's reversed.
Oh.
What?
Oh, no. So even if I'm going to say something similar, but I'm sure
no, you're saying bitachon leads to amuna. If you're saying that amuna is the possibility.
Bitachon is the ikker of yirin amuna.
Oh, not that it leads.
Did that answer your question, really?
Yeah.
What did I mean by that?
Meaning that it's the essence. That's the goal, the essence of Amuna.
Oh, the goal. No, I don't know if I meant that.
Meaning the main thing, like by Kaker and Tafa, sort of. Meaning it's subsumed under.
Subsumed under. Okay, I'll tell you the idea I was trying to say. You tell me this is what I meant. Okay. Okay. I'll say it like this, is that the bitachon they had was based on the nisim v'neflos. Like he says, v'yar yishol ha-shem, es yagdol ha-shem, asa ha-shem mitzrayim, that kishiro yishol ha-nisim v'neflos, shah ya-osimam ba-abor, shal ketiv ha-sha-olam, bat-chubo. So when they saw the ekia asher ekia, when they saw that God was with them, and he redeemed them, and he did the miracles, and he saved them, so they trusted him, and they davened him at the Yamsuf, and he answered them, and he destroyed Paro, right? And right, the whole sequence of events that led up to the Yamsuf, which was the culmination of Tefillah, them davening to God, and him saving them. The Yamsuf was a microcosm, because at the Yamsuf they davened, and he saved them and destroyed Paro through the nace of the Kriyas Yamsuf. But the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim was preceded by Tefillah, and God is sending motion, answering them, and doing the Nisim and Inflows. Okay, and that brought about that's the bitachon, and they were mispal, and they did that, right? And they davened to him, right? So what that culminated in the Kriyas Yamsuf, and then destroying of Paro, so that led to the highest state of Emunah and Yira. But I say is the Emunah is the from the Ekya Asher Ekya, you have the Emunah, the full faith and conviction in God.
So that's reverse what he was saying. That was my question. You were saying bitachon is the internalization. Before.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the way the Kisra Ramban is saying exactly. I'm saying that the bitachon is the experiential, and the I'm saying it's reversed. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm saying like that. It's similar, a little different, but similar to what he was saying. I'm saying that there's a reverse. There's the idea of ekia sher ekia. It's a reverse order of the Rambam's theory, the Rambam's way of doing it. Okay, the Rambam's way of doing it is the derech of the galus. Is you start with the abstract, intellectual, philosophical, and you somehow try to make that real, bring it down to you. Okay, I'm saying ekya shekya. When you have geula, zman of geula, it goes the other way. It starts with the experiential, and then it elevates after the culmination of the full experience. You're left with the philosophical conviction of Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avdo. It starts the other way, bottom up almost. You understand? Ekeshek is a different path. It starts from your experience and it culminates in the Emunah and the philosophical. Yeah, that's good. You can say it that way. But there's an opposite order. The other way is you're trying to take Emunah and achieve Bitachon. We're trying to start with ideas, philosophical ideas, and trying to make it real to your emotions, real to your world, that you look around the world and you see God. In nature and in the cosmos, and you're trying to take it from ideas and make it real to your emotions. That's the of the gullus, that's what you have to do. But when you have the Zman HaGeula and the Nisim Neflos and Kriyas Yamsuf and the saving of Klai Yisrael from Paro, it goes the other way. The experiences and the everyday, the daily life of what they went through over that year, that's real to them. And those experiences culminate in a realization of what what they saw at the Yamsuf, a Shivcho saw at the Yamsuf is greater than Yechezkel ben Buzi, right? That method is really a greater method for when it's available for a person, starting from the experiential and the Nisim and flows to bring them to recognition of God's existence. Yiras Hashem, that he's the fear and awe of God, and the Emunah Bashem, it can start the other way, right? So that's what I'm saying. That's the
keyword start.
The what?
Keyword is start.
Yeah, where it starts from. But at the end of the day, you want both.
That it's not the end.
You're right. The what?
That's not the end goal. Meaning it's not a thing in and of itself. Meaning it's just to start you on the path.
To Emunah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Okay. And that's what you're trying to recreate. In Kriya Shema and the Brachos, what I think is you're doing all those things. In Kriya Shema, that's the last bracha of Kriya Shema, is Geula. You're trying to go through this. You're trying to make recourse. bring it up to your mind that we had this in Mitzrayim. Bring up what our forefathers did, what happened to them. And you're trying to place yourself in a sense in that frame of mind and then get up and daven. But in Kriya Shema Yosef Yichud Hashem, you're the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Shem Hashem Echad. It starts off with the bracha of Maoros, the cosmos, the first bracha, right? Yotzer Or Baruch Hoshech, or Mar Varavim, and right? It's the cosmos, the right astronomy. And then the second bracha is Har Sinai and the Sinai Satorah, until you get to Geula. So, and then you have obviously Kriya Shema Yichud Hashem between the philosophical, the Rambam, right? So you have Kriya Shema and the brachos. You're marshaling all the different elements, the different aspects that you can to bring you to recognition of God's existence. Kabbalah Salamach Hashemayim. You're not using just one avenue. You don't limit yourself to one measly avenue. You try to marshal all your resources, the intellectual, the experiential, the chachma of the Torah, the avas of Torah, the knowledge of natures and the cosmos. You're trying to put it all together to bring you to the, you know, the emunah and bitachon of God, and then you get up in daven. Okay, you go, you omer lifnei Hashem, once you get put those all together, then you have that in your mind, and then you're in a position where you're able to be misfalo. Okay, so the Rabbeinu is focusing on the geula, but if you notice, the Birchas Kriya Shema has all these different elements. And that's your mispalo from your Yisomach Geula Tefila. You put together, yes, the geulas Mitzrayim and this idea of the bitachon, the experiential, but it's the whole Kriya Shema. Okay, the whole Kriya Shema, all the different aspects. That Tefila emerges of being Omer Lifnei Hashem, of Nedav and Nirdav Hodasas Hashem, the knowledge of God. It emerges from the combination of all the different sources. And your faith in God shouldn't be just rooted in experiential, in objective, subjective, and intellectual. It should, in the Torah and nature, it should take into account and shouldn't be limited to one of them. It's the full, the idea of God and conviction of God, it's the full complement of all the different sources.
Convergence of evidence.
Yeah, from many different types of sources. And it's not just multiple type,
yeah,
level, it's types of events and psychological, intellectual, emotional.
No,
you want to have all the different sources.
Many little reasons are often equal to, like,
correct. But I'm saying it's not just different reasons in the same framework. It's different frameworks. You know what I'm saying? In the framework of the cosmological, you can, there's different types of arguments. You can have a design argument. You can have the Big Bang. You can have, those are all in one type of framework. Do you understand? But I'm saying use different types of frameworks. Don't limit yourself to a specific, even though you might be conducive to, you know, one framework might be more, you know, congenial for you, which one is more natural for you to do, branch out. Because, and that's what Birchos Kriya Shema was trying to do. It's trying to expose you to the different aspects, the different ways you can know God. You can know He exists, make it real to you. And you bring them all to your mind before you daven. Okay?
And if you unify them like that, then you're better on Baba.
Yeah, exactly. And then you daven, that's right, exactly. That's the ticket to Amaba. Then you have Bitachon, Yir, and Emuna, and that's the full complement of the Yedias Hashem, and that's the Ben Olam Haba. Not just by doing the halachic action.
Yeah.
That's Rinio's point. Not just the bare mice is not going to get it done, but it's all the concepts, the philosophical, emotional, experiential concepts that go along with it. That's what brings you to Olam Haba. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the benefit of having different frameworks?
It's the whole human.
I think, yeah, it brings in the whole personality. Person is not just an intellect, it's not just emotion, it's not just a psyche, you know. That's one thing. It brings in, they complement each other, different parts of personality. And two, like I was saying earlier, is like certain situations you'll find yourself in, you'll be able to draw on one as opposed to another. Do you know, a person, you know, when a person's suffering and things are going terrible for them, certain types of you'll be able to lean on, certain sources will mean more to him than other sources. When things are going great and his life is going amazing, or, you know, it's, you know, a different aspect of you know, element of God's existence, how he knows it will be more prominent for him. So I'm saying different situations and different people call for different avenues of knowing God. They'll mean more to you in different times of your life and different situations you're in. And plus, the totality of them all together, I think, complement each other.
You'd say you have a stronger idea that way?
Yes.
Frameworks?
Yes. I think if you just go the Rambam way, just pure... I'm not saying the Rambam himself went just that way. I'm just using it as that...
Representative.
Yeah, correct.
Logic.
Correct. The way Rambam learns Ekki Asher Ekki. If you just do that, I mean, maybe... I'm not sure. I would think... definitely for certain people, it's not good enough. Okay, certain people might not be good enough. And I say even for you, it's limited. It doesn't... it's very hard for just a pure abstract idea to really engage the whole personality completely. I think it's hard. I think you need to bring in Gulas Mitzrayim and the Nisim and the Flows and the Hashkacha, and there's going to be Gula Sida. I mean, the Torah is a lot of mitzvos besides just abstract intellectual proofs of God. And you need them all to really to make God's, and the objective of the Torah is to make God's existence real, to help you develop a relationship with God, at least one of the primary objectives. And it does that through multiple avenues. Different mitzvahs hit a person in different ways. I don't think it's a good idea just to rely on just one way. You know, I don't think it's good because it's not everywhere. Not, you know, like I said earlier, it's different. The different ways are they complement each other and they work better in different situations.
You never know what frame of mind you're going to be in when before you daven. Like, it could be that a certain framework is gonna put you in the right mindset.
I think that's true. Also, yeah, even on a daily basis, I think it changes. I think that's true. Also, rising more in terms of, yeah, but I think that's true. Also, for sure. Good. Any questions?
Yeah, it doesn't always end up being metaphysical, though. Idea. In terms of your soul's
true idea.
Okay, right. True idea.
I mean,
it's good, like an emotional framework affected.
I mean, ultimately, your knowledge of God is going to be metaphysical knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so, but where it comes from, like where it starts from.
And also just the driving force to continue acting in that knowledge. Sometimes just knowing that something's right isn't enough to do it.
Right. Right, you're a human being and you have a psyche and you have emotions and
acting in accordance,
a whole personality.
Emotions.
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. I mean, ultimately the idea of God is going to be a metaphysical idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the accurate, doesn't it?
It's true, but I mean, how do you get to that idea? Starting off from, there's a difference between starting off from philosophical principles, or from just abstract philosophical principles, or from studying, you know, the biological realm, or from experiencing Nisim and Flows and Hashkacha. Those are different starting points, and they engage the person in different ways.
Right.
And they're different. They're very different. The sense you have of God from the different methods, it gives you a different sense. It's not the same, even though ultimately, yes, the idea of God is going to be Yichud Hashem. The heart of the whole thing is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Right.
That's the heart of everything. And if you don't have, that's the middle of the whole thing. It's the core. If you don't have the idea of Yichud Hashem, then all these things are basically avodah zarah.
Right.
Right.
So how can you get a different sense?
What?
So how can you get a different sense?
It's still, it's the Hashem that's Echad is the one who's doing all those miracles and providing for you. That's different than just having the proof of Yichud Hashem from philosophy.
And also it helps you to spread the ideas of God, meaning because each individual is open to different frameworks.
Right, different people will be receptive to different things. Not all people will appreciate just the pure, cold, abstract, philosophical idea of Yichud Hashem.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Just sit down and be like...
And even if you do, a person can hear the argument. He just did. So what is that? Just one existence with no parts. No, it's like it doesn't appeal to him. It doesn't move him. It doesn't do anything. He needs more. They need something more than that. Some people, you know, it's to really engage them and for them to move their life based upon that. Some people are moved by the idea of Yichud Hashem. Some people need something more than that. You know, I think that's why it appeals into wider range, the Ekki Asher Ekki, than I think pure philosophical arguments. But I think they're all important. They're all good and they complement each other. In different times in history, some are more applicable than others.
There are two very popular songs. One's called Hooked on a Feeling by Frankie Valli.
Thank you.
The other one's called More Than a Feeling by Boston.
More Than a Feeling and Hooked on a Feeling? I don't get it, but I like it. On that note.